gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What a show we have coming up. Former and future Congressman Alan Grayson, SNL comedian Rachel Dratch, and Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal from Esquire.com.
This show's going to explode.
Yeah, it is going to explode. First of all, oh, mittens. This is just really...
You know that song? Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies,
oh,
for amber waves of grain.
Oh! And let's play compare and contrast. President Obama.
So
so yesterday.
I think you sweetened that scream a little bit there, just a tad.
Yesterday, Mittens, there he is, pathetic little photo op with Rudy Giuliani.
I could have done that. It was no big deal.
And the president. In Afghanistan, bam, nothing but net. It's gonna be, this is going to be Harlem Globetrotters. I think he's going to bounce a basketball off Mitt Romney's head in the debates. Just, he's just, I don't.
He is the most awkward man in the world.
Yeah, yeah, nice try, Mittens. All right, bam, Commander-in-Chief. All right.
Why is he commemorating that like it was some big deal?
I could have done that.
And I would have done it differently. I would have done this with my hands.
Just because I said I wouldn't have done it, I would have done it. Big deal. All right. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
We're off to a rollicking start. Okay. Oh, I promised my salmon recipe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. This is my sister Libby's from Lynchburg, Virginia salmon recipe, and I got some of it on there.
If it says Libby's on the label.
It's Libby's. Delicious. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. This is our niche. No one else is doing politics and cooking.
All right.
Okay. Quarter cup of fresh orange juice, 2 tablespoons balsamic vinegar, 1 tablespoon Dijon mustard, 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 tablespoon finely minced shallots, optional.
Huh.
1 small clove garlic minced or just garlic powder, 2 teaspoons finely chopped fresh basil, salt, ground pepper, blend it all together. And then you put the salmon in the pan, spoon some of that over it, bake it 450 for 11 minutes,
wow.
Or 12 minutes, excuse me, per inch of thickness. And then you spoon the remaining vinaigrette over the salmon.
Nice.
It's delicious.
That sounds great.
Yes, it is. I'll give you a bite, Jim.
You know, you're going to have to give that to me. I'm going to have to put that up on the Facebook page because nobody got that. Nobody was able to write that down.
No.
you can improvise.
Oh, damn it.
Heat for 10 hours at 47...
I've gotten emails from people that have really enjoyed my recipes, and they improvised. Like, I didn't hear the first part, but this it was delicious.
Yeah. Salmon and some other stuff.
Things
and
in there.
I heard orange juice and salmon. That's about it.
Well, you're not paying attention,
I was
you?
Paying attention.
All right.
Because I knew people would ask me about
orange
it.
Orange juice.
Looky what I got. We have new sexy liberal caps.
Yep.
On sexyliberal.com. This, I'm too sexy to vote Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we have a boogity cheese in honor of Aisha doing the next show
coming up.
Tickets almost gone, by the way, for the next show, May 12th,
mm-hmm.
next weekend in Minneapolis. Jackie in Bowling Green, Iowa writes, Steph, thanks for helping put the sexy back in this liberal. Since your show has been on current TV, I've increased my morning cardio on the treadmill from a half an hour at a 4% angle 3 times a week to 1 hour
wow.
at 15% angle 4 times a week. Did everyone write that down?
Add garlic and shallots.
And then shallots, no.
And then spoon
the shallots
over.
Shallots are optional.
Spoon over for 4 minutes, an inch.
At
what?
15 degrees for an hour and a half.
I'm losing weight and getting strong. Woohoo! You, Chris, and Jim are hilarious and smart. Frequently causes me to snort when laughing and adds a challenge to breathing during exercise. Oxygen overrated anyway. We agree. Got to go to Pro Flowers now for a Mother's Day gift.
They fired you, so of course it's overrated.
Don't forget to type Steph in the box. Why, thank you. Thank you. Look at that girl. Watching on current and buying Pro Flowers.
Hooray!
All right. Oh, and Mike. I forgot Mike and Raleigh. Our buddy, our pal, wrote yesterday. Steph, yesterday was Monday. It's time for my weekly. Hey, Bill Maher ripped us off again.
Yeah.
At least after Least Interesting Man in the World, the bit he was 6 months later than the Stephanie Miller Show picking up and airing this past Friday. They did In Memoriam, which was the exact bit we did the week before Christmas, recognizing the gaffes of the GOP field during the year. Now, in keeping with our agreement, which is I do radio bits and you pay me nothing, I don't want to know how HBO figures into this. Don't they know the Stephanie Miller Show has exclusive rights to my indentured servitude? I shall notify HBO post-haste.
Yeah.
All right.
Because they'll care.
And Bill Maher also talked about Mitt Romney being the least interesting man in the world, which sounded really familiar.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, everybody start writing. Here comes another Mike and Raleigh.
They're tasty and they're cutesy, so filthy rich and spooky. Their trash bags are by Gucci, the Mittens family. Their house sure beats their neighbors, with butlers, maids, and waiters. Their cars have elevators, the Mittens family.
Pancakes. Grits. Cars.
So gather your support from a super pet consortium. We're going to buy some Mormons, the Mittens family.
Whee!
Kish, that's French. Je m'appelle Mitt Romney.
Okay, thank you, Mike. All right, yikes, we have I'm telling you, a cooking question. Will, and hang on one second here. Here, I'm going to carry the floor. Hang on, am I doing this right?
What?
No, I'm not. Here it is. Will in Chicago has a salmon question. Hi, Will. Will?
Hi, Emma, certified. Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Hi.
Hi, hello. I'm so sorry. Hey, I'm the official chef of your show. I am the actual certified executive chef and worked all over the world winning many awards. I'd love to be your official chef.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, why don't you come here every day and do craft services for us?
Yeah.
Well, if I would love to. The commute from Chicago would be quite
a little bit much, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Hey, okay, with your salmon, I might make a couple suggestions based upon the...
Whatever, Mr. Professional Chef.
Oh, my God.
Like, I didn't make it right because I was drunk. Whatever.
No, well, that's the best way of making food most of the time, I found. But what I would recommend is marinate it overnight in the vinaigrette and then, like, flash grill it on the grill. And don't forget a little salt and pepper before you do the whole cooking thing because it helps bring out the flavor of the food. But aside from that, it sounds delicious.
Yes, but doesn't it dry it out if you do it on the grill? Because this way it's right in the
sauce.
You
flash grill it. You do it really, really fast.
That's why I say flash grill it. Yeah, you want to leave it so the center is still, like, medium rare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Will.
If you do that, then it's buttery and it melts in your mouth.
Will, you're going to have to come in and sous chef for me. I'm sorry.
Okay, I can do that. All right, awesome. Next time I'm in L.A., I'll definitely make sure to make an appointment and we'll swing
by. Awesome, Thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
Can you be a sous chef if you're Ojibwe?
See what I did?
Indian nation.
You know.
Okay.
I got a bunch of chefier than thou listeners. Let me just tell you, I've gotten emails like, oh, I tried your shrimp thing, but I did it better. Here's how you do it. You didn't boil it down into a... You know what? We have a lot of snotty elitist chefs. That's what I can tell.
Or a lot of people...
You didn't boil it down into a demi-glaze. Try that first, and then...
Or a lot of people who watch Food Network incessantly and think they know better.
Of course.
Yeah.
They're like, your mom doesn't know.
So there. Master chef around the world. Blah, 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 blah. I have a TV show that I watch.
Exactly. All right. You know, we're going to have to get our friend, Susan Feniger, my good friend, celebrity chef, in here.
We're lousy with celebrity chefs.
Right? Yes. We have the official snotty French restaurant, Bouchon in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oui.
Bouchon.
Mm-hmm. Oui, oui.
Bless you. Okay. all right. So Mittens yesterday accused President Obama of politicizing the death of bin Laden, but said it was totally appropriate for him to claim credit for ordering the U.S. military raid. Did he just flip-flop in the sentence?
Yeah.
And he was commemorating the death of bin Laden with Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Yes.
At a New York fire station.
Yes,
so,
but he was
so
carrying
mash-up
pizzas.
Mashup of 9/11.
He was carrying pizzas like a regular guy. My God, seriously looked like he's never held a pizza box in his life. He's all, like, freshly pressed.
This is a pizza box.
Here are some pizzas.
I understand pizza is delicious. That's what they tell
me. Not
as
delicious as pancakes, but here. And he had, like, I think three of them, so he looked, you know, like he was...
Generous.
Really butch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I don't deliver the pizza in half an hour, I'm going to fire you.
These are just the right height. Look at... Yeah, and there's the president in Afghanistan. Bam! Commander-in-Chief card. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. He can do that. Mitt can't.
Sorry.
Nanny,
nice little nanny boo-boo.
Yeah.
Flies to a fancy country like Afghanistan in a fancy plane. Who does he think he is?
And the wrestling blogs went nuts yesterday about this. Mm. How dare he?
How dare he? Yes.
How dare the commander-in-chief go talk to the troops?
Yes, right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, so isn't this fair game? it's not like the president just said this out of nowhere. Mittens is on record as saying he wouldn't have done this, and this was the wrong strategy to pursue.
That's right.
How is that not fair game?
It's absolutely
it's like,
fair
I
game.
I was right, you were wrong. Nanny,
how
nanny,
dare
boo-boo.
You quote me?
Nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Nanny, boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo.
On tape.
I think we should go with that for 2012.
Yeah?
Obama, I was right, you were wrong. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Stick your head in doo-doo.
Obama, 2012. Neener. All right, the president in Afghanistan.
My fellow Americans, we've traveled through more than a decade under the dark cloud of war. Yet here, in the pre-dawn darkness of Afghanistan, we can see the light of a new day on the horizon.
Mittens yesterday said it's totally appropriate for the president to express to the American people the view that he had an important role in taking out Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
I think politicizing it.
What? Huh?
To draw a distinction between himself and myself was an inappropriate use of the very important event that brought America together. It's bad form.
Yeah.
Bad form. It's rude. It's not done at my country club.
It's rude to point out what a hypocrite I am.
I think politicizing it was... and trying to draw a distinction between himself and myself was an inappropriate use of the very important event that brought America together, which was the elimination of Osama bin Laden.
If you don't
it's
want
impolite.
Him...
It's impolite.
You're running for president against him. Of course he's going to draw a distinction between himself and you.
I would refer you to people's previous statements.
Yeah.
In which they said this is the wrong course of action to go into Pakistan.
Wow.
That's why it's a fair game. If he had just said, I don't think Mitt Romney would have made this call based on nothing, yes, then it would have been, you know.
But he said he wouldn't have done it.
He said he's on record.
Well, that's not
mittens.
The point.
Mittens,
it's just
mittens.
Rude.
Bless his heart.
Bless his little heart. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
You know it's hard to keep a good woman down. But then again, maybe that could be fun.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes to the hour. We just posted my salmon recipe. On
your Facebook page.
On my Facebook, Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page.
Yeah.
Check it out. We're getting a lot more concerned trolls since we've been on TV.
Yes. You know what the first comment is on your recipe?
Your show sucks.
Yeah.
Whatever. Never. Just trying to bring a little salmon recipe to the people. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Carrie in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
How are you doing, Steph?
Hi, Carrie.
Hey, I just come across your show a couple days ago.
Uh-oh.
And for the first time. And you can take that any way you want. And I'll tell you what, why Mitt and the Republican Party is so fearful of women.
Why is that?
Because you pack more thunder in your thong than anybody in that party could ever handle.
Wow. Did you say thunder in my thong?
Yes.
Yikes.
Hey, when you got it, blonde it.
Well, yeah, baby. All right. Thank you, Carrie. Did you hear that, Jim? Packing a lot of thunder in my thong.
You pack more thunder in your thong than they could ever hope to.
Yeah. Right?
That's
wow.
Amazing.
Bam.
What kind of thunder are we talking about?
I got your thunder right here. My thong.
Actually, you have a spectacular ass.
Ow.
There's no thunder.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Or lightning, as far as we know.
There's a lot of lightning, just no thunder.
All right. Robert in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed your show, and I liked your new ball cap.
Thank you.
And I wanted to make a comment about
SexyLiberal.com.
I wanted to make a quick comment about glaucoma.
I'm going to have my glaucoma test today.
Unfortunately, I have glaucoma.
Oh, boy.
And I've had to have several surgeries.
Oh, boy.
But it's under control. I just take 2 eye drops a day.
Oh, boy.
So I don't have any problems.
Okay.
And also, I'm a liberal, but I'm not a redneck.
Oh, good. All right, Robert. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's the turn my life has taken. People calling in with glaucoma tips.
Yeah.
Guacamole.
They don't think I have it. I just have to go have a test to be sure today.
Well, probably because you haven't seen an eye doctor since you had RK. right?
I had the horse-drawn kind of LASIK. Mm.
Yeah, well, you didn't have laser. There was no laser involved.
No.
It was a scalpel.
No, it was horse-drawn.
Yeah.
It was a saw. It was like a barn raising. It just was...
Yeah,
it was done by
bleeding.
It was done by an Amish doctor.
Vuka, vuka.
Did you hear that sound when your eyes are being operated on? I don't think
no.
so.
Although when you have LASIK, it's really disconcerting because you smell burning flesh.
Ah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
nice.
That's
like
something I didn't expect.
What is that?
It's me. Yeah. It smells like burning hair. It's, yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
Maybe I'll just stick with glasses.
There you go.
Nancy in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nance.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Well, I just wanted to call about that salmon recipe.
Sure.
I think your version is better.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because this other man's version of how to make it involves grilling, and grilling makes the food carcinogenic.
Oh, well, there you go. There's one thing. Yeah,
the burnt part, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Fancy Chicago Chef.
Yeah, but don't you grill everything?
No, this one I did in the oven.
I know, but you grill everything else.
Yes, mostly.
Yes, you do.
Because I'm like a man. I'm like a man. Fire.
Yeah. You know what?
Meat.
Grilling salmon isn't going to make it any less carcinogenic because
I'm not the most talented chef. I frequently have to go down and do show prep and I leave it in too long. This I actually burned. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, just cut off the burned layer and it'll be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Keith in Milwaukee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hey, while I was waiting to come on, I punched up an order from Pro Flowers for my mother and my daughter.
Thank Hooray! You. Yay!
So that's what hanging on the phone gets you.
There you go.
Hey, you know, let's disinvest ourselves of the notion that Mitt Romney would ever go after, Bin Laden.
No, he's too cautious politically. He wouldn't know which way the wind is blowing. It's too risky.
That's
right.
He's risk adverse Romney.
Yep. Yeah,
but let me bring up the other point. Remember how every time Bush's poll numbers would drop or he'd come up on election, or you'd come up, or he'd want to ram some bill through Congress, out came Bin Laden, just like Punk's a Tiny Phil.
I mean,
you know, it'd be like the guys in the top hats, just, you know, looky here, look what we have
here. Wasn't that convenient?
Yeah, and six more weeks of terror.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
And it was always like the same video they showed over and over again. Look, he's back! Look at him, he's threatening
us.
Ooh,
boo, yeah.
And if you couldn't speak Arabic, you would know what he was saying. It was probably something completely different.
So the president obviously...
I love that Whitney Houston.
I will always love her. I don't care. Yeah, Jim made a very good point yesterday. Thank God that he didn't live to see her death, because that would have broken the man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Prone to depression as he was.
Yes. Oh. If we'd lost another one of the B-52s, forget about it. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. What? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Owner of
Stephanie Miller.
Stinks.com.net.org. What does that tell you?
Awesome. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your PC or your Mac from anywhere with GoToMyPC. It's what we use. We love it. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For our exclusive offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The president in Afghanistan yesterday.
I will not keep Americans in harm's way a single day longer than is absolutely required for our national security. But we must finish the job we started in Afghanistan and end this war responsibly.
The Republicans were being all, you know, being all commander-in-chiefy and highlighting his competence, and it's not fair. Romney said, this is a person who'd done terrible harm to America, who represented a continuing threat to civilized people throughout the world. Had I been president of the United States, I would have made the same decision. I would have done that.
No, you wouldn't.
I would have done that.
No, because you said yourself that you wouldn't have gone unilaterally into...
I wouldn't do that.
Another country.
Yes, exactly. Except because in 2007 he said, yeah.
Right.
If I were to do that, I wouldn't have done that. But I will have done that.
Sure. He said in 2007 it was not worth moving heaven and earth to catch one person. Mm. Romney also tried to clarify another comment
from
2000s.
Yeah.
His entire campaign is going to be a clarification. Another comment from 2007 when candidate Obama was being criticized for saying he would conduct unannounced raids inside Pakistan if high-level terror targets were found to be hiding there. Romney criticized Obama at the time, saying, "I do not concur," in the words of Barack Obama, in a plan to enter an ally of ours. Oh, mittens. Mittens, you see right there.
Hmm.
Romney suggested Tuesday he had simply criticized Obama for signaling his intentions about what he would do as president. Although, let me read the quote again. The quote was, "I do not concur," in the words of Barack Obama, "in a plan to enter an ally of ours."
Fine, which
so
I
you
mean,
see, he didn't say that back then.
I believe
I would do it. I just wouldn't say
right
I was doing it.
Thing to do, but if I had been doing it. But
he
not,
said, we always reserve, we, what do you mean we, Kim Osadia?
Yeah.
We always reserve the right to go anywhere to get Osama bin Laden, Romney said. I said that very clearly in the response I made.
No.
No, you didn't. But that I thought, and many people believed as I did, that it was naive on the part of the president at the time, the candidate, to say he would go into Pakistan. Yeah, except, see, he did go into Pakistan, and he did get him. And so that would mean, once again, let's review Mittens. You were wrong,
yeah,
and he
yes,
was right.
Hypothetical land.
Yeah.
Wow. I would have
backpedal much?
And may I
not done what he would have not done or not if I had been not me.
And let me take another moment to say, neener, neener, boo-boo. Okay. Let's go to Debbie in New Hampshire. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
And I want to apologize because when I call, I never say good morning to the men.
That's all right.
Oh, good morning,
Debbie.
Good morning, and they're just as great. My comment is
I've been following this
because I watched. yes, they are.
No.
Especially the one across from you.
Ignore them. I do. Oh, which one? Hello.
The one right across from you.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I love the way he moves and tries to dance. Well, dances.
Tries to dance. Tries, the operative word.
Magic.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I followed Mr. Obama's speech. Right?
Yes.
And I am just floored at the hypocrisy of this Republican Party. I am praying that Americans are waking up and paying attention to this.
Well, you know, that's true. You know, I was looking at the daily, the Gallup tracking poll. They're dead even. And I'm like, in what world are they, are they dead even?
You know, in 2004, Cheney, a couple of days before we were supposed to vote, he went around the stump with his wife telling us that we needed to vote Republican because it meant the safety of our country.
Yep, yep. Well,
you
I
know?
Mean, and that's why, you know, we can't underestimate, as you said the other day, Chris, the anybody but Obama vote. It's just they
right.
literally, it, I mean, it really is like Mitt Romney, meh.
Yeah,
but
I suppose.
I guess he'll do,
he'll do
for people that hate Obama the way they do. The president yesterday in Afghanistan.
Time and again, they have answered the call to serve in distant and dangerous places. In an age when so many institutions have come up short, these Americans stood tall.
Mary Lou in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi.
Hi.
Why I'm calling is my nephew's 82nd Airborne Special Ops. In the last 2 years, he went on a secret mission for 6 months to Yemen. And I'd see Cheney and his daughter out at Christmas time, how horrible Obama was because he wouldn't do anything about Yemen. So he just got back this spring from the second mission 6 months, and they were over in Afghanistan getting this all set up to get the men out and everything, you know, to get it set up to do
right.
what Obama's doing. And since he's got back, he got colonel. And he is, and I wanted to, Grayson's coming on, I give him money. I send money
he's
to
awesome.
Him.
Yep.
And also, I live 10 miles, now don't laugh, I live 10 miles from Boehner's house.
No. Oh, do you really? Wow.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
you smell the bourbon
you,
from there?
Yeah. Do you ever throw
scary.
An egg at it or something?
Is his house orange? All right. Oh, that made her giggle. Okay. Pat in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Steph. This feels so good because I'm 70 years old, and the only way I could ever listen to you is if I went to Burbank to stay with my daughter.
Oh, you have to be right here in Burbank where I am.
Right.
Right.
Hello, Jenny, if you're here, hi.
Hi, Jenny.
And this is just such a thrill for me. She used to tape your show, and I'd get it a month later.
Really?
That's tough. That's tough for
exactly
a topical
current,
show.
And I live in the most, I think, rurally right-wing place in the world, and I have Obama stickers up.
Oh,
and
boy.
Four years ago, one of these yahoos out here ran over my Obama sign.
Oh.
I called up the company he worked for and told him that that was a federal offense and I was turning him into the FBI.
Ha. Awesome.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Thank you.
All right.
And the MOOC. Thank you guys for being happy.
Oh, thank you. Buy a sexy liberal hat and go knock on his door just to piss him off.
Hi.
All right. Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah, get a I'm too sexy to vote Republican hat and just go, just knock on the door with your big cartoon hand, your big sexy liberal hand. And then when they open the door, just go, nothing. Why don't you see my hat? Okay. Robin, bye. Robin Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Rob.
Yeah, hi. I was telling your screener I didn't even know about your show until about a week ago.
Yes.
And after years of listening to Rush Limbaugh, it's nice to hear something different and that I agree with for a change.
Aww. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're back on in Columbus.
WVKO.
Yes, 1580, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1580 VKO.
Woohoo! We'll be in there for Columbus for Sexy Liberal August 18th. Come see us.
Okay, I'll try.
All right.
I'll get off work. I was going to ask you, though, I think Obama's a shoo-in, and I'm not even a Democrat. You know, I'm an independent liberal on the political spectrum. But if all the heavy hitter Republicans thought they could run and win, they'd run. You know, like that Indiana governor.
The mini governor, Mitch Daniels.
Yeah, and the Chris Christie, New Jersey guy. I mean,
yes.
Those seem to be the leading lights of their party. They're not running, and I think it's for a reason, because they know as well as I do that Obama's going to win.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and also Mitch Daniels has to stay in his tree and make cookies. Martin in Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Martin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just love your show.
Thank you.
And just to let you know, I left Chuck Todd for you.
Oh, wow.
You know, on MSNBC.
I could count the number of times that's happened.
Yes, and thank you for making the word liberal so sexy again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie, and we love you.
All right, I love
Aww.
You too. Oh, it was just a love call. That was magical. Thank you. All right, the president in Afghanistan. Yesterday.
1 year ago, from base here in Afghanistan, our troops launched the operation that killed Osama bin Laden. The goal that I set, to defeat al-Qaeda and deny it a chance to rebuild, is now within our reach.
Okay, we get it. We get it. You got bin Laden.
Hey, whatever.
Stop spiking the football.
Rubbing it in my face.
I could have done that. Said the U.S. and Afghanistan have signed a long-term partnership agreement to assure the war ends and a new chapter begins. He said the daring strike had put America's goal of crushing al-Qaeda within our reach. The new long-term... Yes, because apparently... Bin Laden was very depressed, killed because he knew that he was losing. The new long-term partnership agreement governs the United States' role in Afghanistan for 10 years after the NATO-led combat forces leave in 2014. NATO leaders due in Chicago in late May for a summit, which they're expected to spell out how the troops will hand over security duties to Afghani forces. The president again yesterday.
This time of war began in Afghanistan, and this is where it will end.
Yellow. Okay, and one more. The president yesterday. The president.
Neither Americans nor the Afghan people asked for this war. Yet for a decade, we've stood together to drive al-Qaeda from its camps, to battle an insurgency, and to give the people of Afghanistan the possibility to live in peace and in dignity.
Maya in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I am just so tired of even some Democrats giving any credit to the Bush administration for going after Osama bin Laden.
Right.
You know, I mean, 6 months after 9/11, he was up there saying, oh, you know, I don't care. You know, he's really not important to me.
Right. Well, and more importantly than that, operationally, he shut down the bin Laden unit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What more do you need to know?
I don't know what more you need to know, and I don't understand why these Democrats. I guess they feel like they have to be, you know, to show some sort of you know, that they're being, you know, they're giving some credit to Bush because, you know, for the votes. I don't know what the deal is, but I don't give him
because
any credit.
It would just be rude to point out that Bush didn't get him and Obama did. That's just impolite.
Yeah, and he had a perfect chance at Tora Bora.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Oh, she's plucky. I like her.
Yeah.
She's a plucky little Texas gal. Little yellow rose of Texas.
I don't care about him because he's still on the payroll. Oops.
Don't
say that.
Don't.
Didn't catapult propaganda.
Thank
you. Zoinks.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson coming up at the top of the hour. Very, very exciting. And then Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, she has
hour.
A new book.
Yes.
It's kind of an interesting story that she has.
Yes.
That she tells in the book.
Would you like to tease it?
Yeah. It's called Girl Walks Into a Bar.
Yes.
And it's about she walked into a bar, took home a one-night stand, and got pregnant from it at age 44.
Wow-wee.
So that's quite an interesting story she has
Yikes.
To tell.
It sounds like my life. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. She is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Debbie Downer's hilarious.
Yep.
Joel in Chicago.
Magnificent speech yesterday in front of the troops without a teleprompter.
I don't think you... Hello.
Hi, Joel.
Hi, Joel. Now you're on the air.
Hi there. How about that magnificent speech in front of those troops without a teleprompter?
Yes, how about that?
How about that? How about all the talking points? They don't know what to do if they didn't have somebody come out with their talking points every morning.
Yep.
Same crap every day. Every one of them with the same talking points.
Yes. All right, Joel.
But the speech without the teleprompter. Magnificent.
Magnificent. I love that people rehearse their phone calls. I think that's awesome.
Yep.
I don't think the performance is much different than the rehearsal, but it was very good. I'm just wondering how many times he said it.
Was it the dress
in front
rehearsal?
Of the mirror? I mean, let me get into character.
He was doing it on
and
a loop.
See.
How about that magnificent speech without the teleprompter? How about that magnificent speech without a teleprompter?
He said reading on
good
the teleprompter.
Good morning, Mama. How about that magnificent speech without a teleprompter?
Maybe he thought that since we're on TV now, he needed to be camera ready.
He needed to get in character.
Yeah.
What was his name? I'm sorry.
Joel?
Joel.
Yeah.
I am Joel in Chicago. I am Joel in Chicago. Hello. Good morning. I am Joel in Chicago.
I am Joel in Chicago. I am Joel in Chicago. No, that's not.
Did he try out different voices, I wonder? Different accents, and then he just went with that one?
I'm Joel from Chicago.
Okay. That's not nice. We're just kidding, Joel. That was a very good
point. Please call again. You were a good call.
And by the way, that was a magnificent speech without a teleprompter.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here it is again.
The wages of war have been great for both our nations. But today, with the signing of this strategic partnership agreement, we look forward to a future of peace.
He thinks they're so smart. Being able to do without a teleprompter. I could have done that. I just chose not to.
Yeah. Okay. The president.
We have been able to decimate the ranks of Al-Qaeda.
So?
And a year ago, we were able to finally bring Osama bin Laden to justice.
Oh, there he goes, bragging about that again. Rubbing it in my face.
Blah, 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 blah. Competence, blah, 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 blah.
The president is not the right height.
Oh, mittens. This just in. Obama, April approval, highest since bin Laden death. President Obama's April job approval rating surged to the highest level since last May when we killed bin Laden. Gallup, Obama's daily average registered at 47%. Obama remains essentially tied, though, as I mentioned a little while ago, in Gallup's head-to-head. Yeah.
That's the Gallup pool.
Yes. Overall, Obama is on track for incumbent presidents who have been reelected to a second term, with his approval rating trending upward instead of downwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, neener, boo-boo. Okay, President, one more time.
There will be difficult days ahead. But as we move forward with our transition, I'm confident that Afghan forces will grow stronger. The Afghan people will take control of their future.
Yes, exactly. And furthermore, Jim,
mm-hmm.
How about that magnificent speech without a teleprompter? How about that? How did you like that? Liz in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Stephanie. I've been looking for you for 4 years.
I'm so glad I found you. You're the love of my life. I just love you, love you. I have no Liberty TV, radio in this area, and I miss you. You're not on CNN anymore, and then I found you.
Wow.
So happy.
Wow. It's
love
so,
you.
Oh, my God. We're like Oprah on Oprah's Favorite Things.
Oh, I love you. I love you. But anyway, it's better that he does teleprompter than tell a lie.
That's right, Liz.
Take care.
Liz, you are the love of my life, too. Wow.
She's awesome.
She is enthusiastic.
She needs to call every day.
Two words, D and calf.
And I didn't give her D and calf. I didn't give her anything. I feel like I need to give her some of my favorite things. Maybe it was the salmon recipe that put her over the top.
That could be.
Here is my favorite salmon recipe. You get a fish, and you get a fish.
You know what would be good on that salmon recipe? Sprinkle some almonds over it before you bake it.
Oh, look at you. You know what I always say? I always say if you give a person a fish recipe, they can eat for...
But
never
if you
mind.
Give them your sister's recipe.
Yeah, but if you
teach
then
them how to fish.
Get out just as carefully as we got in
up.
Carelessly.
I know what that was. Hang on. The president said about Iraq, we need to...
Get out.
We need to be as careful getting out as we were
careless getting in.
There
you go. That's it.
Nothing but net. Okay. Noreen in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome,
yes.
Noreen.
Yes, good morning to all of you.
Thank you.
And I am glad that you're on current. Right now, it's my favorite station.
Oh,
But I want to say something really significant. First of all, I'm an 80-plus liberal. And the point I want to make is that Osama bin Laden was not only responsible for 9/11, but nobody is saying for all the things that the atrocities that he did prior to that.
Yep.
How about it? The embassy and the apartment in Africa.
Yep.
And the coal. And
the coal,
all the
USS
other
coal.
Stuff in Europe.
Yep.
You know, it's not just 9/11. And that's the point I want to make. And
yep.
I just want to say I love you.
I love you,
and
too.
And continue with all of that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Noreen. And you're right. That was a very significant point. I was going to be the judge of that, but she's right. That wasn't it. All right. Candace in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Candace.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I'm a fairly new listener. I am not used to morning commute. I started a new job, and now I'm listening to Big Girl Radio.
Hooray!
Yay.
Big Girl job. But my comments about everything with Osama bin Laden is just I don't appreciate that. I don't think Obama has actually been, pounding his chest, as they're saying. I think other people like Biden have been trying to stick up and say, look, how badly would it have gone for him if this had gone wrong?
Yeah.
And not just, it went fairly perfectly,
yep.
But there were so many more things that could have gone wrong. And I think other people are kind of backing him up trying to say, look, this was not just, him making the call for the glory. There was a big risk involved. And that's where I see the honor in it. And that's where I see, I appreciate that they're calling Mitt Romney out on he wouldn't have had the guts. I think those are the exact right words.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
I love that ad, too.
Well, I mean, I think, Candace, what makes it fair game, as I've said, is he is on record saying this is the wrong course to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
To go, what
right.
The president was saying is naive about going into Pakistan without, our whatever, if we have actionable intelligence. He is on record saying that's the wrong path.
Unless it works,
yeah.
In which case I would have done the same
thing. And
then,
of course, I was for that, as you know.
Of course I was.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Alan Grayson, former and future congressman, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy Voice, Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, SexyLiberal.com. What's that? Yes, I'm feeling super.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say.
Yep.
I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Oh, my goodness. Would you like one? You can get one on sexyliberal.com. We have this, and I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican, and Boogity Cheese in honor of Aisha Tyler joining us for the next Sexy Liberal in Minneapolis in May 12th, next Saturday. Tickets almost sold out.
I don't think Marcus Bachman would be caught dead in that hat.
And we're going to get more. I'm hoping for a Steph head one. Get it? Steph head. See? Get it? Okay, then. No. And just
and
a regular.
What do the Von Tiller brothers think about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to take another opportunity to deny that I ever slept with any of the Pontillo Pizza Brothers in Lockport, New York. Thank you.
999.
I don't know who started that rumor. Oh, Jan and Amherst.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
and you had to think about it whether you did or not. That was the dead giveaway.
Okay. It was right after John and Amherst imparted the knowledge about the mortgage crisis to us.
Yeah, it's a room full of black guys.
Caused the mortgage crisis. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was briefly stunned into
talking
life.
About it. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of sexy liberals, ladies and gentlemen, he was live with us at the Fort Lauderdale show.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Good morning, former and future.
Yes, live was an understatement.
Yeah.
You did panel with us, and you were delightful, as always.
Thank you.
Is this incredible, this whole the president is politicizing the death of bin Laden, when this is a party that politicized 9/11 for how long?
Look, let's stick to the real issues here.
Okay.
Mitt Romney believes in America.
Okay. All right.
He said it in his announcement speech, he believes in America, and that's good, because think of how embarrassing it might be to have a president who thought that America was imaginary.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Like Vulcan or like Narnia. Could get us in a lot of trouble if that happened.
He also believes in the magic spectacles, but that's all.
Former and future, the problem is, this is a quantifiable, George Bush let bin Laden get away at Tora Bora, shut down the bin Laden unit, said he didn't care where he is.
You're welcome.
President Obama ran on this, did it, and I think what makes it fair game, as we've been saying, is Mitt Romney is on record criticizing what, then-candidate Obama said he was going to do.
I don't think you understand Obama's motivation here. Mm-hmm. I think bin Laden had his real birth certificate.
I see, yes.
It all makes sense.
I see. You see what you did there? But I think that Joe Biden's line of attack, what do you think? I mean, GM is alive, bin Laden's dead. Isn't that pretty succinct?
Yeah, and it does sort of summarize what the priorities of this administration might be. This administration has done a good job in trying to keep the economy going in very difficult conditions and also protected us. I don't know what the Romney administration might do except to show an enormous concern for the unborn. I don't know. I think that's the real difference in this election. Romney would focus on the unborn, like Santorum and Gingrich, and Obama focuses on the born.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know if you've seen some of these new ads, but I think they're dead on. One of them says, as a corporate CEO, Romney shipped jobs overseas to places like Mexico and China. As governor, he outsourced state jobs to a call center in India. He's still pushing tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. It's just what you expect from a guy who has a Swiss bank account. I mean, it's all fair game, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we understand what his economic policy would be, and I respect it. I think that he wants to create jobs in America. He wants to create jobs for butlers, for maids,
for
chauffeurs, for gardeners, and American jobs, too. I mean, the maids would have to dress like French maids, but they wouldn't actually have to be French.
Yes. So he's creating jobs for car elevator mechanics, of which there are so many.
Right. That's his dream for America. He wants everyone, rich or poor, to have an elevator for his car.
There was another web campaign, Mitt Romney's Record. The Team Obama highlights countries all over the world that benefited from Romney's activities as CEO and governor, cites specific examples of Romney-linked companies that sent U.S. jobs overseas. They even have an infographic detailing Romney's foreign holdings in countries like Ireland, the Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Switzerland, and others. Gee, for someone that believes in America, he doesn't believe in having his money here, does he?
He believes in the idea of America.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is, if he's saying, Alan, that he's running on his record as a businessman and a job creator, I think David Axelrod said it best. He said his business career was not about job creation. It was about wealth creation for himself and his partners. It often came through vehicles like outsourcing, leveraging companies with debt, bankrupting companies, making money off those bankruptcies. Oftentimes it cost jobs and certainly wages and benefits. It didn't create them. Boom. Nothing but net, don't you think?
Well, but he does have a record. He has a record as a public official. He let's give him credit where credit is due. I know you don't like to do that.
All right.
All right, let's give him credit where credit is due. He created the first system of universal health care in America.
Yes, that's true.
Right? Massachusetts is the only state in America that has universal health care, and Romney wants to keep it that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's my dream. You want to hear my dream?
Yes. Okay. I'd love to hear your dream.
Okay.
Tell me about your dream.
Okay, well, it starts as a nightmare. It starts as a nightmare. Is that the healthcare?
Am I in this dream?
Yes. Just be patient. We're not there yet. Okay. So that starts with the SCOTUS. The conservative Supreme Court, of course, overturns healthcare. But then, in 2012, Alan Grayson is reelected to Congress, and we pass Medicare for All, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, are you with me?
I was hoping for something more intimate.
Listen, that's we'll talk privately now.
Too many people listening?
Yeah, too many. And watching now, too, on current TV.
All right, so keep your hands on the table, then.
Yeah. They can see our dreams.
What do you think? You've been so, you know, on point about health care all along. What do you think is going to happen at the Supreme Court?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And the funny thing is I actually worked with two of them at the time when I was younger. I actually worked with Judge Scalia and I worked with Judge Ginsburg at a law school. And I still don't know. It could go either way.
Yeah, you're an uber snob, according to Rick Santorum. You have several Harvard degrees, don't you?
More and more each day.
While you've been talking to me, you've gotten another degree from Harvard.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, but I do know that what they seem to be concentrating their fire on is the idea of the mandate. And the mandate is not the essential part of the bill. The essential part of the bill is, first, to extend health care to almost every American. And secondly, to make it affordable for everybody.
Right.
And if they're going to take shots at the mandate and miss those targets, that's not that bad.
Well, but how does it work without the mandate, Alan?
Well, it's very simple. In terms of extending the coverage, 15 million more Americans get coverage by extending Medicaid, unless they prove that Medicaid is unconstitutional 40 years after the fact. And secondly, the affordability credits extend the coverage to 15 million more Americans and also give subsidies to everyone else up to the income level of $88,000 a year.
Yep. You know, it's interesting. When you were in Congress, you've been dealing with this every day. The Republicans, you have to offset everything. Doesn't matter what it is, right? Emergency, disaster relief, unemployment benefits. So aren't they being totally exposed now? Well, they're saying you do not need to offset the cost of extending the Bush tax cuts. That's the fight that's going on now. Apparently,
well,
that's,
you could offset it by keeping Obamacare in place because Obamacare saves $100 billion.
Oops. See, that's why you drive them crazy, because you point out, you know, inconvenient facts like that.
It's just the stuff they come up with. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot me.
But I mean,
it is within their Second Amendment rights, but just don't do it.
Right. But, I mean, it just exposes their hypocrisy on its face that you know, they have no plans to pay for the extension of these tax cuts. It's that would totally erase the deficit, any deficit reduction they can claim that they've achieved, doesn't it?
I think we've covered every conceivable issue in, what, like 11 minutes or so?
Yeah, right?
You're amazing. You're absolutely amazing.
It's like speed interview dating.
I pick you.
I pick you.
Okay, we're done.
Your mystery date turned out to be a dream.
Oh, he is a dream. All right. Former and future, I love you. I'll talk to you again real soon, honey.
Oh, good. I love
all
it.
Right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Make sure you get a few more degrees from Harvard, so you're not smart enough for me to talk to you now.
Yeah. Ooh, what a snob.
Barely stumbled his way through that interview. All right, let's go real quick to Tony in Los Angeles. Hey, Tony, welcome.
Hi, Tony. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, honey, go ahead.
Good. I was just saying that, you know, they just hating on Obama, drinking hater aid because they have no swagger. I mean, let's be real. That is the driest man I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And just like the saying that we always say, Obama could walk on water and they still would say he's too lazy to swim.
That's right.
You know it.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good day, girl.
Love you, Tony.
Love you, too.
That's my Tony in L.A.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. We have to invite her to the party this weekend. We're having another drunken guitar party player. We got to invite Tony. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Got mutilated late last night.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Martin in Kansas City. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Martin. Hello.
Oh.
Oh, he got nervous. Okay, Chuck in Massachusetts. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to talk about a little bit of this myth about Mitt Romney and Romney Care in Massachusetts. Romney and his boys weren't in some sort of think tank in the Oval Office. I've worked in the State House, you know, thinking this thing up. Basically what it was a grassroots effort by many, many community groups who came up with it and presented it to Romney. And, in fact, some of the things like the employee mandate he was not crazy about. But Mitt, you know, being a man of conviction, you know, put his middle finger in his mouth, put it as high as he could, and decided that politically this was a great thing to do. But he went along with Romney Care. He really didn't develop it, and I don't think he should be given that much credit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way,
take the credit, though.
He took, you know, he was the going to be the most pro-gay rights governor ever, more pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy. And now he's lost his caddy gay. His caddy gay had to resign.
His caddy gay was forced out by even cattier evangelicals.
Right?
Yeah.
Richard Grenell, his openly gay aide, just resigned. What was he, there for like a week?
He resigned on his first day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't play in the reindeer games very long.
Nope.
On the Republican side these days, kids.
Come on, Dave.
No.
We won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer game.
No. An openly gay Republican operative hired as Mitt Romney's foreign policy spokesman abruptly resigned, suggesting the focus on his personal life on the gay had become a distraction.
Yeah.
The Romney campaign hired Richard Grenell, who previously served as George W. Bush's spokesman at the UN. Yikes. Here's a job.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, but his brief tenure had been the subject of controversy only because, controversial only because it's controversial to be a gay these days in the Republican Party. He was criticized for posting a series of crude Twitter messages that he later deleted, although I think we've all learned, haven't we, Chris, that Twitter is forever.
Twitter is forever. Yes, indeed. Maybe he was trying to out-rude the rude pundit.
He had attacked several women, including Hillary Clinton, Rachel Maddow, and Newt Gingrich's wife, Calista. Meow. He reportedly came under fire from social conservatives for being gay. He said, while I welcome the challenge to confront President Obama's foreign policy failures, well, that would have been a tough job.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And weak leadership on the world stage. My ability to speak clearly and forcefully on the issues has been greatly diminished by hyper-partisan discussion of personal issues that sometimes comes from a presidential campaign. I want to thank Governor Romney for his belief in me and my abilities and his clear message to me that being openly gay was a non-issue for him and his team. Except, again, he's been pushed so far to the right in this Republican primary by the homophobes and others that, there's no going back now. That's the problem. By the way, the headline is Santorum wants promises from Romney before backing. He's not going to get behind Romney. You don't want Santorum that close behind you unless you're...
no.
Rick Santorum wants to ensure the Republicans' policy platform represents conservatives' interests, like gay bashing. Newt Gingrich wants help retiring his campaign debt. Ooh, and probably wants a new account opened at Tiffany's for Calista. Each wants assurance that Romney will deliver for them, neither rushing toward the task. Meanwhile, it doesn't appear that Ron Paul of Texas is going to go that way. He's still in the race and hasn't recognized Romney as the party's nominee. He probably hasn't even tucked his little tiny head out of his giant cartoon suit in weeks.
I'm not going to what? I'm not even going to admit that he's the nominee.
Admit who?
All right. Lee in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up three real quick pieces of hypocrisy in a sea of Republican hypocrisy.
Okay.
The first of all is the guy who Mitt Romney was standing next to yesterday, Mr. Giuliani.
Yes.
The man mentioned 9/11 in every other word that he spoke during the 2008 election. I mean, election. And next was me, Mr. Scott Brown, who votes against Obamacare, yet has his 23-year-old daughter on his plan.
Yes.
And and last but certainly not least is Mr. Alan West. Last year when the Congressional Black Caucus took their job for on the road, Mr. West sent his brother to the Congressional Black Caucus job fair. I mean, communists. He sent his brother to a bunch of communists to find them a job. I mean, so I just felt I would bring those three items up.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you. Yeah, I hear there's at least three groups that are gunning for, clearly communist groups gunning for Alan West's seat in Florida. Kitty in California. Hi, Kitty.
Hi. How are you, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
I have to tell you, I go way back with you.
Uh-oh.
I was one of your spotters for Freeway Furniture for the first time when you were on in California and you were looking to furnish your first place.
I was.
Wow.
Wait a minute. You sell furniture?
No, she was a furniture spotter.
Oh.
On the freeway, you know, and they'd announce there was a couch in lane four. I'd call you right away.
I remember when you used to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I have no memory of my own life. But all right, go ahead.
Really? I've been a Steph head forever.
Aww,
but anyway, I have to tell you, I'm one of your marinated salmon swimming upstream in a sea full of conservatism and Palos Verdes. I got myself a Mid Happen sticker, and I'm just, you know, taking my chances backing out of the garage.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Palos Verdes is I've been there, done that. All right, Kitty.
And I'm Kitty. Is my name DeLitter?
Yeah,
DeLitter.
That's funny. You said there. All right. He's a good kitty. Okay, 29 minutes.
Who's your good kitty?
He's a good kitty. 29 minutes.
Who's your pretty kitty?
Stop it. 29 minutes after the hour. SNL actress extraordinaire Rachel Dratch next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Like in high school.
Only the most amazing breakdancer ever.
It is
I find that hard to believe.
Stephanie, I couldn't get up again.
Well, you went to high school in the disco era, so breakdancing hadn't even been invented
yet. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour.
You've got to get up to get down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you knew that.
Hey, speaking of down, I need some Debbie Downer music. See what you did there?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know her from Saturday Night Live. Hilarious characters.
Yep.
Her impersonation of the Calista Flockhart, her lover's skits with Will Ferrell, her Sully and Denise, the Boston teens. Love that. With Jimmy Fallon. And, of course, the queen of depressing non sequiturs, Debbie Downer. Rachel Dratch joins us now. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you, guys.
What a hilarious book, Girl Walks into a Bar. What a hilarious title.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
So the subtitle is Comedy Calamities, Dating Disasters, and a Midlife Miracle. Tell us what you're referring to.
Well, oh, wow. I mean, that's like the whole book in a little phrase there. Comedy Calamities is, I just started out talking about showbiz and comedy, what it's like to be on SNL. And then after SNL, things kind of slowed down for me. And so then I started writing up these little stories if something funny would happen in my day or something. And that's kind of how this book came to be. So then when I had all this time on my hands, I was like, okay, I'll do all the things I didn't have time for when I was on the show. So then I tried to be better about dating and try to, like, force myself to go on dates. So those are the dating disasters. And then it's like, I'm really telling the book in, like, 30 seconds.
I was going to say,
then that's what happens next is after I kind of gave up on the whole dating thing. Eventually, walk into a bar, girl walks into a bar, and meet a guy who eventually becomes my baby daddy. When I was almost 44, I had the surprise pregnancy.
Wow.
At age 44, yeah. Wow. There it is. That's my life story in a nutshell.
Wow. Yeah. And scene. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
as they say in improv, scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious. It's stuff we've all been through. You know, I love the tolerating the usual well-meaning advice by married friends. It'll happen when you're not looking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the phrase you always hear from people that are in a nice relationship.
Yeah.
It'll happen when you're not looking. Yeah, exactly.
You have a hilarious recounting of your history of dating all the wrong guys, including the three addicts, the alcoholic, the pothead, and the sex addict, though he wasn't addicted to sex with you.
Right. Yeah, that was my dating history going in. So I was trying to, you know, have my radar out to find a nice guy instead of my typical fare.
What?
Yeah.
So what, you have to, I mean, you obviously talk in the book about, I guess, the challenges of going through pregnancy, childbirth, new parenthood, all while you were still in the courtship phase of this relationship. Can I ask, first of all, are you still with him or no?
I am, yeah. And that's what I sort of thought would make a funny book, because, like, it was such a unique situation of having a baby with someone that, you know, you've been dating 6 months long distance. So, you know, the way we forge through every little step, but, you know, how hard it is to just go through pregnancy and newborn when you're married with someone you know really well, and then here we were kind of thrown into this together. So it definitely had some comic outcomes, for sure. And, yeah, like, trying to be still flirtatious when you're dealing with, you know, breast pumps and everything and all that stuff is kind of a challenge. So
did you can I ask, yeah, what was that phone call like? Or
oh my god. Well, I mean, I was still in so much shock myself when I learned I was pregnant. I was completely shocked, and then I had to call him up, and he was driving, and I was, okay, call me back when you get home, because I didn't want to, like, have him, like, drive off, yeah, the road or something. And at first we were both kind of just incredulous, like, we, you know, he didn't really, he just wanted me to, like, take another test, and, like, we couldn't believe it. And then, you know, when it was real, I think we were both just numb for about a month or so, and then we started, I don't know, trying to, you know, decide what was going to happen.
Wow.
And I sort of told him, you know, because he lived in San Francisco at the time, but anyway, he ended up moving here, and because he didn't want to, you know, have a kid growing up across the country, he said. So he's very involved as a dad. And
well, you know, now you're going to have to be on stage for the Republican convention as a symbol of family values.
I
as you know.
Well, that's the funny thing is, we've moved forward with the whole thing. So, yeah, family values, exactly.
What, you know, it's interesting. You talk about, I mean, you, first of all, God, you worked with everybody, Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, when you were coming up in improv and all that. What is it like to work at that level with those kind of people?
Well, I started at Second City in Chicago, and so, yeah, Stephen Colbert and Carell and Amy Sedaris, they were all in the cast ahead of me when I was, wow, in touring company, so I got to watch them perform, you know, and you knew they were so special, even then, like, so, yeah, you got to sort of watch and learn, like, I mean, I mentioned in the book, like, Amy Sedaris, she was so funny, she was, like, this pretty little girl who would make her face do the most screwed up things,
yeah,
you know, she was sort of a role model of mine, because just she wasn't afraid to, like, look weird, you know, yeah, so you kind of learned something, like, Tina was always an amazing writer and improviser. Like, she was just so smart, you know, from, of course, back then.
Right.
And so you just kind of, like, glean little tips and comedy tricks off of everyone you're around. So
it's a, yeah, just ripping everyone off is the key. Yeah.
You all kind of, like, raise the bar for each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
that's what we call it.
You know,
it. Yeah.
you're younger than I am, and who isn't? But, you know, you had the same experience I did as of watching SNL. In your case, you were in fourth grade. But, you know, you have all you had all the favorites I did. The Coneheads, Lisa Loebner, Roseanne,
yeah,
Rosanna Dana, Wild and Crazy Guys, Mr. Bill, right?
Yeah, I started watching the very first season, and I was sort of hooked into it. You know, I was like, what is this crazy world I'm watching? You know, I knew it was something really special, but I also knew that half the jokes were probably going over my head. But from then on, I would watch it every Saturday and, you know, make my little sleepover friends stay up and watch it. They'd all fall asleep, and I'd stick it through to the end every week. Yeah.
See, in my case, I was in high school, but all the same stuff, right? You said to all your friends stuff like, never mind. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, no, Mr. Bill!
Yeah.
That was the language we spoke, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So then you developed into the class clown in junior high, did 4 summers of theater camp. Is that like band camp?
Kind of, yeah. Pretty much. Geeking out, yeah.
Yeah. And then you headed to Dartmouth. And by the way, you had planned to become a psychologist. Is that where Debbie Downer came from?
Well, maybe. I mean, I always sort of had these little therapist fantasies, but it's sort of in the same, you know, field, I guess. I don't know, sort of, you know, discovering weirdos is probably the same,
yeah,
as a comedian. Yeah.
You say at Dartmouth, a Jewish girl from a suburban Boston, you felt out of place. I was about to encounter a species of human I'd never met. I speak of the wasp.
Yeah, Dartmouth was chock full of wasps back then. I think it's a little more diverse now, but this was, you know, over 20 years ago. So, yeah, it was kind of this society I hadn't really encountered before, and so I felt a little out of place. And but then eventually I found the improv group there, and that's when I kind of, you know, felt I had my little gang. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. I share your hope, as you say, that your agent will call with something more interesting than the lesbian mutant best friends parts you currently receive.
I know. Well, those are the kind of parts that were coming up the pike for me after SNL. But actually, ironically enough, like right when the book came out, I got a part on a NBC show. So I'm waiting to see if it gets picked up. We shot the pilot already. So
after
all my lamenting, you know, sitting around, of course the job comes right when this book happens, like 5 years
later. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I might be on a show in the fall if it goes through. Yeah.
Oh, I hope so. And how old's the baby?
He's 20 months.
Oh,
congratulations.
And how long do you have to count in months? I've always wondered.
I know. I was like, I used to hate when people said this month thing. Why don't you just... So I was about to say a little over a year. It took so long. I know. I think at age 2, you can stop with a month.
All right. Okay. Just wanted to know. Now, congratulations on that. And we really will be hoping and praying for the series because you are hilarious. And the book, the book is hilarious. Girl walks into a bar. Pick it up. Rachel, thanks so much.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Thanks.
All right. There she goes.
Yay.
How cute is she?
Yep.
She's adorable.
She is.
I like the Boston sketch.
Yeah, the Boston kids.
Wicked Richard.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I was going to tell you about a year ago, right when Obama was executed, killed, whatever word we're using today.
Right.
I was talking with two rather conservative people at work and about the whole event. One of them says, well, I didn't, you know, about Obama's speech. I really don't know if I liked the way he kept saying, I did this, I did that. And I looked at her and I said, well, who did order it then? You know, the guy from, you know, Pizza Hut or what? Who ordered this? And then the other one goes, well, you know, who are we really to think that we can go in and take one person's life?
Oh, please. And yeah, the president's so mean.
I know.
He assassinated him.
I know. I looked at her and I said, as opposed to him, Bin Laden taking 3,000 lives, what kind of, you know, economy do you work with here? And she looked at me and just kind of turned red and walked away.
Yeah.
And I remember... I remember turning away, going back to my desk, and talking to a more liberal-minded friend of mine. I says, you know, I'm convinced that dumb is the new black.
Yeah.
T and then a he. Bill in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a couple comments about Romney.
Yes.
Romney?
Romney, yes.
Yeah. Surprised I got through. I got cut off the last time I called you.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I didn't get cut off. The call got dropped.
But all right. Okay.
Neither here nor there. He made a few comments about killing Bin Laden, but I think the first lobbyist that waved a fat check in his face, he'd do whatever they told him to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it would be worth it. That's what he said. He literally said, oh, it's not worth the money.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't worth the money to kill Bin Laden in what Iraq and Afghanistan were, and we still didn't get him with those wars.
That's all what matters to him.
Yep, exactly. All right, 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, I don't believe it. This is too good to be real.
Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can dance with a munchkin.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weirdest video ever.
Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, coming up after the top of the hour.
He's usually our Tuesday pal.
Yes.
But he was traveling yesterday, so now he's our Wednesday pal.
No, everything's all cattywampus.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Let's try to everybody relax. Okay.
I got you'd be surprised at how many cards and letters I got yesterday. Where was Charlie?
I know. All right. Try to remain calm. Meanwhile, here's the breaking news from me. I'm having a little gastrointestinal distress, so if I should have to leave, I apologize.
Oh.
Did anyone else have the fish? I'm just kidding. I apologize if I killed anyone with my salmon recipe.
Yeah, I'm a little...
It's not... Well, it's not the recipe. I'll be fine.
We'll
don't worry.
We'll have to put the show on autopilot.
Yeah. I'll have to blow up autopilot and put it here. All right. Kathy. Oh, by the way, lots of people commenting they love the hat. You can go to sexyliberal.com. Get it. They're new. I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Boogity Cheese in honor of Aisha joining the show May 12th. And tickets almost gone for Minneapolis. Then we got Boston in June, L.A. in July, Columbus, Ohio in August. And then let's see here. Who's this? Kathy, right, Steph, my friend Beth and I have tickets for your Seattle birthday show. It's on my birthday.
Whoa!
September 29th. We belong to two groups responsible for the downfall of our society. We're both nurses and we both work in the public schools. Even though we're rolling in taxpayer largesse, we can't afford the meat and grub, so we'll be waving from the balcony, Mama, and singing happy birthday to you. Kathy and Beth, the official naughty nurses of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, we'll see you there.
After sold-out performances in 2011, the Emerald City is about to experience a new dose of hilarity in 2012.
Welcome back, Seattle.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour returns to Seattle.
No, I've never been the kind of going for that sort of self-congratulatory hoopla.
September 29th, 2012, Seattle welcomes the return of Stephanie Miller.
The greatest radio talk show host ever.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks, this time to the plush and historic Paramount Theater, which has hosted live performances by Ella Fitzgerald and the Marx Brothers. Welcome Stephanie Miller.
I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
And her special brand of sexy liberal comedy. Tickets are available by calling 1-877-STG-4TIX. That's 1-877-784-4849. Saturday, September 29th at 8 p.m.
What a festive day this is.
The Sexy Liberal Show at the historic Paramount Theater in Seattle.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
All right. And speaking of Seattle, Julie in Seattle is now following Rafalka Romney on Twitter.
Yes. You tweeted that Rafalka had a Twitter account the other day.
I am Mitt Romney's dressage horse and a lover of oats.
Yep.
Oh, Mittens, that's hilarious. It's rich people horse humor.
Oh,
Thurston, that is hilarious. Yes, you can follow the Romney's dressage horse.
Yes, Rafalka Romney.
Is she part of the Mittens family?
They're pasty and they're cutesy, so filthy rich and spooky. Their trash bags are by Gucci, the Mittens family. Their house sure beats their neighbors, with butlers, maids, and waiters. Their cars have elevators, the Mittens family.
Pancakes.
Grits.
Cars. So gather your support from a super pet consortium. We're going to buy some Mormons, the Mittens family.
We love you, Mike and Raleigh.
Yay.
Let's go to Rita in Maryland. Hey, Rita, welcome. Hi, Rita.
I'm going to try to be as nice as I can be to Mitt Romney today. In response to his offense that President Obama would question what he would or would not have done concerning bin Laden. It's kind of difficult to make the argument when Romney refused to engage in military activity when he had the opportunity to do so for the United States.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know that former President Carter would have engaged. Former President Carter took the opportunity and served.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I thought that was kind of a cheap shot, wasn't it, at Carter? Like, and so current, by the way.
Yeah.
I think he owes Carter an apology.
Yeah.
You know, Carter wore a uniform.
He most certainly did.
When you elect not to wear a uniform and you vacation in France while others do serve when duty calls, it's kind of a cheap shot
And even David Frum, George Bush's speechwriter, said he needs new writers. Like,
yeah.
What was that? That just seemed petty
and correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Carter like a nuclear physicist on a nuclear submarine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So Carter's wicked smart.
Yeah. Like that's rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dave and
I could have done that. I chose not
to. Oh, wait.
To.
Carol in Florida with a... I love this one. Hang on.
Right-wing hypocrites!
Carol in Florida. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi there. Hello. Stephanie, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Kudos to Current for
Thank
doing
you.
A great service by allowing our voices to be heard.
Thank you.
All and right. I want to say that I am a 76-year-old on Medicare, and I want the same health care coverage as hypocrite Scott Brown and all the other governors, senators, congressmen that our taxpayer money pays for. And yeah. that Adam West, he is the freakiest man I know. I live in Florida. Believe me. Oh, God.
Well, you know, Scott Brown, this is the part that really chafes your butt, doesn't it? He's a Tea Party champion, great opponent of the president of Affordable Health Care Act. He voted against it. He ran on that. And his 23-year-old daughter is one of the 2.5 million young Americans who are benefiting. She's
That's
on
right.
his health care.
Well, that's true, and it hurts people like us when they start saying that they're going to do away if Romney naturally gets in with Medicare. I mean, on Social Security and Medicare, we've paid our dues. We've done it. Why in the world do these young governors come out and think they can take advantage of the whole system? And they are taking advantage of the system by allowing his daughter to be on. Well, that's the new law now, you know, with Obamacare. That's a good benefit, a terrific benefit. For families with children and college and all this. This is a terrific benefit.
Yeah, and the difference, Carol, is, you know, if Obamacare is overturned, you know, he's got means to, you know, insure his daughter. Most people don't. Most people, that's really, really helping their kids, right?
Well, they all do. They all have money. Every one of them have enough money. This does not help the middle class or the poor. It does not. He's nothing but a hypocrite, and he needs to be called on this, and big time. And there's many, many more out there just like him.
All right, thank you. A hypocrite as well.
Yes.
Which is even worse than a hypocrite. All right, that's Dave in Tennessee here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am still loving your show.
Thank you.
Okay, I like.
Was there a danger of you not loving the show?
I like to make a comment on the retirement age that the Republicans are wanting to raise. You know, so bad. Okay, I'm 62 and I've just retired. And. What they don't seem to understand, if you had a job that you could sit all day like they do and run their mouth, retiring at 70 would be okay. But I worked in a factory till I retired. I worked in a factory for 30-some years.
Yep.
And the time you get 60 years old, believe me, if you do labor every day, which they don't understand what, like the auto workers and everyone does, you know, that you're wore out when you get 60 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, it's people that are wore out that are in nursing homes now in their early 60s.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And Mitt Romney doesn't understand that with his chick hands. He has rich guy chick hands, I'm just saying. I hope he continues to like us. It seemed like we're on double secret probation or something.
Yeah, I still like you.
All right.
Okay.
But you know what?
It could change.
We've had a couple of retirees call in today. I'm guessing these people are my fans. Fun-loving grandparents drunkenly tow granddaughter in a Hot Wheels car behind their SUV.
Yeah.
Listen, everything was okay. Nobody was hurt.
And a little fun was had.
Gawker writes, the best worst grandparents of all time took their granddaughter on a joyride she won't soon forget. Paul and Belinda Berlone used dog leashes to tie their granddaughter's Hot Wheels car to their SUV and then proceeded to drive her around. Paul was drunk driving without a license because he had it revoked 10 years ago for a
I can see why.
DUI. Belinda Berlone was riding in the vehicle's cargo area with the rear hatch open, cheering the child on as she was being pulled behind the vehicle. The arrest report said they told the deputy they knew it was dangerous, but it was also fun, and they've been doing it all day.
Huh. And drinking all day, apparently.
What could possibly go wrong?
Right back with Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I'm feeling super. Thanks for asking. Don't I look cute in this hat?
Yes, you do.
You can get one on sexyliberal.com, along with I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican. Check it out. Okay. All right. And find out more swag, the CD. Why, looky here. Sexy Liberal Volume 1.
Whoa.
The album. And then you can get tickets to upcoming live shows. There you go. All right, speaking of sexy and liberal, there's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning. Charlie Pierce.
Nice. How are you?
I'm good. There was mass hysteria yesterday when you were not here.
Yeah. Where's Charlie?
And he's our Tuesday pal.
Did you get rid of him?
He's our Tuesday pal.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, they all had to go like down to the the common room and eat Jell-O and play bingo.
As you wrote, you said, so what happens, I'm traveling. That's why we didn't talk to you yesterday.
Right.
From Massachusetts to Nebraska, and I'm picking up the news and dribs and drabs in those areas where the Wi-Fi connections are in the tiny paws of particularly energetic hamsters. Is that how you get Wi-Fi?
I'm now settled into a nice place where I can get Wi-Fi.
And the
blog is up and running, but
it was
tough in the airport yesterday. I'm not exactly sure why. The O'Hare Airport seemed to be very stubbornly bad at Wi-Fi.
Yikes! Yikes!
Wow. I think it was the monkeypox.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that was O'Hare.
So Charlie, great piece on Obama 2012, Bin Laden, and Willard's 3 a.m. phone call. I mean, can you believe this? He's politicizing killing Bin Laden. He's politicizing his own competence. How dare he?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure how that's different at the basic level from Romney saying that Obama doesn't understand the economy because he's never been, you know, throwing people out of work or something.
Yeah, as you say, right, because he's never been a vulture capitalist.
Yeah.
We
certainly take a certain level of intelligence and expertise for granted. I'm amazed by the notion that anyone would be offended at a president who has a singular foreign policy triumphant that he might like use that to stay president for another 4 years.
Yes, as you write, however, Willard Romney is all a flutter, my dear young chap. That's simply not done. Yes, it's just rude.
Simply not. Oh.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, John McCain is going around telling people they shouldn't brag about being a hero.
Yeah, no,
the man would not have a political career.
Right. Yeah.
I love that. There are apparently no clouds in the sky at which John McCain could yell, so he weighed in on the dreadful inappropriateness of it all.
I've had the great honor of serving in the company of heroes. And you know the thing about heroes? They don't brag.
There never has been a campaign commercial in any of John McCain's campaign that showed him in a naval uniform.
No.
Ever.
No.
Everything you saw, body double.
No.
He would have absolutely nothing to do with that.
It was John McClane, actually.
Yeah. Here he is again, Charlie.
It's always good when the president goes to where young men and women are in harm's way, and I think that many of us who have been involved in Afghanistan are very supportive of the strategic partnership agreement, which I'm sure he'll be talking about. And we think the agreement is good. We obviously would like to know the details.
Oh, Mitt, I was going to say bitter table of one. Your table's ready. Okay. You make the analogy, too. You say it's the same thing Hillary Clinton did with the 3 a.m. ad. You know, you're not ready to be commander-in-chief. You say when Clinton campaign made their ad, they did so on behalf of a candidate who had no more experience taking that 3 a.m. call than Barack Obama. In the present case, the president actually gave the order. So that's...
Yeah, there's a difference between I would do that now that I've seen that it's worked out, and I actually did that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and let us not even begin to try to estimate the volume of the screeching from the flying monkeys if this thing hadn't worked out.
Well, hello, and you also made the same point I did about the fact that what makes it fair game is, as you point out, what Romney said back in 2007. Right?
Yeah, I know he's desperate for us not to count the last campaign.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because he and Ann just decided this at their kitchen table last February, that he was going to run for president again. Forget the fact that his PAC has been up and running for 7 years.
Right.
And that he's already written a campaign biography 2 years before they had this alleged conversation. But, yeah, nothing that he did in 2007 or certainly as governor of Massachusetts counts. He gets a pass on those.
Well, and you also made the same point we've been making about what a cheap shot that was at Jimmy Carter. You say this from a man whose toughest decision in his life has been which house to sleep in.
Yeah, I thought I was tough on it, and then I read Jim Fallows on the Atlantic blog, who used to actually work for Jimmy Carter, and he has reduced Mitt to a pile of smoking meat by the side of the highway. I mean, he's not handling. I mean, look, we sent guys, and guys died when Jimmy Carter actually made that decision.
Right.
And
yeah.
We saw. I mean, and Republicans haven't stopped yapping about it yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this hadn't worked out, believe me, this would have been a failure of Democratic foreign policy for the next 40 years.
You wrote one of my favorite Charlie Pierce lines, which is really saying something. You said the reason for all the dust being thrown up is every time he talks about foreign policy, Romney's a blindfolded man in a yard full of rakes.
he has a track record of He wrote, I remember a couple of years ago, he wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Post about arms control that apparently, and I'm no expert either, but the people who actually are, they haven't stopped laughing at it yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
You say he flirted with advocating a trade war with China. He and his advisors occasionally slip and call Russia the Soviet Union. Of course, he did make the bobsleds run on time, so there's that. Yeah, I mean, it really, I think it's like we're going, why you're left with the Olympics?
I don't know, it appears that they're backing off a little bit of it now. I think they realize that this really was the wrong fight to pick.
Yeah, criticizing,
Well, not just that, but, criticizing someone for politicizing something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't think anyone should politicize the Olympic ideal.
Well, he said that when he was with Rudy Giuliani in New York, who would never, ever think of politicizing 9/11.
Yeah, he said it at a fire station, by the way.
Right.
Yes.
Which has nothing to do with 9/11.
And that,
no firemen were involved.
And I think the president kind of trounced him on photo ops yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that was a good looking photo op with the Humvees in the background and stuff. It looks like you were doing some serious presidenting over there.
Yeah, exactly.
And signing treaties.
Yep. I'm a little bit, if you look at the blog, I'm a little bit unsure about the treaty, but,
Yeah,
he was president.
I don't want to harsh the mellow. I don't want to get mom.
Don't harsh my buzz.
I'm not exactly sure why we're committing. I mean, why we think that Afghanistan is likely to be any more free when we leave in 2012 than it is right now.
These treaties are not the right height.
Well, I think he's trying to counter what you know is going to be the Republican criticism that, Taliban are just going to wait us out if we say exactly, day certain that we're leaving and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's political season, as you know.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's more than that because, we've now committed ourselves to Hamid Karzai for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
And while he does dress well and has a number of fine-looking hats, I'm not exactly sure he's a committed Democrat, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Small D.
I love your piece on voter ID because it's one of the things we've been talking about. Wizards of ID, you say, good on the Obama people for taking on the current national campaign of voter suppression at the local level. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, because they're training people, and this, I think, goes back to the techniques that were developed during the Freedom Summer in Mississippi in the early 1960s, where they're training people in the ins and outs and subtleties and various, sub-paragraphs of the local, of the statewide voter ID laws. So you would have a way to challenge them, based on, there's no way to shotgun this thing because there are differences in the voter ID laws from state to state. And they're apparently training people to deal with all of them, which I think is a really good idea because I think there are going to be several really nasty scenes at local polling places in the next election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I will guarantee you that that there are thousands of people who haven't been following this very closely who are going to show up to vote are going to be told they can't.
Well, and Charlie, also, what we've been talking about is as pathetic as we think Mittens is. I mean, the Gallup Daily has them tied. And, don't underestimate Obama derangement syndrome.
Not just that, but the economy, and I think Krugman's right about this, he hasn't sold what he's trying to do on the economy very well. And the Republicans have been able to create a narrative, and as long as the economy seems at best recovering slowly, they've got a shot.
Let's not even
get into the fact that, the number of states they control and the number of, therefore local, because we refuse to have a system of national voting, we've got, there's some real possibility for mischief.
Yep.
And more to the point, there's some real possibility that the mischief is now legal.
Yeah. You particularly enjoy the latest flip-flop for Romney, who is, as you know, going to be more pro-gay rights than Ted Kennedy. So then
I'm blogging about that even as we speak.
Yes, then he appointed a gay guy, and the gay guy's bye-bye gone already. Bye-bye gone.
Yeah.
Because he's gay.
He's too gay.
Yeah, he's too gay.
Well, not just that, but he was Twittering nasty things about Calista Gingrich and our friend Rachel Maddow.
Yes,
my
I know.
Seconds will call on yours, sir.
I clutch the pearls. Oh, Rachel Maddow doesn't wear enough pearls around her neck, I guess.
Certainly not as many as he does. See, that's not
fair.
See what you did there,
Charlie
Pierce.
All right. We will read it.
I'll tell you one thing. When Romney says he loves firing people, he's not kidding.
Yeah.
That is true.
He's really good at it.
They fired him on his first day on the job.
Yeah.
That takes some doing.
That was a flip-flop. See, I'm pro-gay. You're hired. All right.
You're fired.
Can't you just see the moving guy, carrying the boxes into the office and then turning right around and leaving?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The evangelicals don't like it. Okay.
You're fired.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Charlie.
The guy's a spokesman for John Bolton, and he's the primary foreign policy spokesman for Mitt Romney, and within 5 minutes, he's an AMPAD worker.
Yeah.
Charlie Pierce, great stuff as always on Esquire.com. Talk to you next week, honey.
We'll see you next week on Tuesday.
There we go. Yay! See you next Tuesday.
Oh, dear.
Dad can see you next Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Mm-hmm.
He did say see you next Tuesday.
Yes, he did.
Hmm. What does he mean by
I'm
that?
I'm no dummy.
That's not an acronym or anything, is it?
It's not the first time I've been called that. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Please get, won't you? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
I think you can say the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I didn't want to butter my bread and then lay, did it? What?
See what you did there?
Mm-hmm. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. David and Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about the righties are getting all upset over the word forward in Obama's slogan.
Yes.
They've turned it into a dirty word. They're saying it's communist and,
yes,
you know, Nazi. But there's a 2004 George W. Bush.
And yet, whenever you say anything about Bush, they're like, why don't you just move forward? Stop looking backwards.
Yeah.
Stop blaming. Don't.
Actually,
well, his film, which you can see on YouTube, is called Moving America Forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a Bush number one book called Looking Forward you can get on Amazon. But I think the best one is it's the Wisconsin state motto. Just forward is the state motto.
Yep, exactly.
And we can all kind of recall what's going on there, right?
Yes. Recall. He made a recall joke. Schwabatz
was the slogan of the social democrats who are not Nazis or communists.
Thank you, Jim. All right. By the way, I love this. Hey, Stephen King's a really good writer. Who knew? I know him mostly as owning two of my radio stations in Bangor.
Bangor? I just met her.
Okay,
I think he's a wonderful radio station owner.
He owns two stations in Bangor, Maine.
That's right.
That has the good taste to air the
Stephanie Miller
Show. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Boss, and all of our listeners would like to bang her.
Thank you. His headline in the Daily Beast, Stephen King, tax me for sake.
He's also a filthy writer, just to let you know.
He is hilarious.
Yeah.
He writes, the iconic writer scolds the super rich, including himself and Mitt Romney, for not giving back and warns of a Kingsian apocalyptic scenario if inequality is not addressed in America.
It's the stand. It's going to be the stand. Totally.
Mm.
Great.
Yep.
How can you not love an article that starts, Chris Christie may be fat, but he ain't Santa Claus. In fact, he seems unable to decide if he's Jersey's governor or it's Capo regime. And it may be a comment on the coarsening of American discourse that his brash rudeness is often taken for charm.
Mm-hmm.
Christie was asked about Warren Buffett, you know, saying he pays less than his secretary. And he said, he should just write a check and shut up.
Oh!
Boom!
Oh, I said it!
Bada-bang! At a rally in Florida, I pointed out that I was paying taxes of roughly 28% of my income. My question was, how come I'm not paying 50? The governor of New Jersey did not respond to this radical idea, possibly being too busy at the all-you-can-eat cheese buffet at Applebee's in Jersey City.
I love Stephen King.
But plenty of other people of the Christie persuasion did. Cut a check and shut up, they said. If you want to pay more, pay more. They said, we're tired of hearing about it, they said. Well, tough for you guys, because I'm not tired of talking about it. I've known rich people, and why not? Since I'm one of them, the majority would rather douse their in lighter fluid, strike a match, and dance around singing Disco Inferno than pay one more cent in taxes to Uncle Sugar.
Chris Christie's the crapo to Tutti Crappy.
I know what you could do. Why, buy some more radio stations.
Yeah, there you go.
Infrastructure. Progressive infrastructure. Look into it.
Maybe.
Because some other companies make business decisions like putting right-wing shows in my slot that lose 90% of the rate.
That could never happen.
Did I mention that again?
Oops.
Awful.
Maybe Stephen King could at least buy a hat.
There you go. Please.
From sexyliberal.com.
Thank you. Colleen in Michigan.
I think you'd look super in that hat.
Thank you. Colleen in Michigan. Hey, Colleen.
Hi, I'm calling to, I've been yelling at the radio. Somebody just said what I said, that if that had gone wrong with Obama, it would have been all on him. But because it went right, he can't talk about it.
Oh, and yeah, every ad would have been about this.
I could have done that.
Yeah.
Right. And every, up here in northern rural Michigan, we need you, we love you, and you are, just can't imagine what a breath of fresh air and intelligence you are.
Thank you.
You guys are the best ever.
Aww.
We love you.
Oh, thank you, Colleen.
I even love you more than Howard Stern.
Oh,
boy,
my.
That's a shock.
Well,
I really
now
do.
You're...
I mean, I love Howard Stern.
Now
so
you're talking.
You're making more sense than him these days.
Wow. All right.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Howard Stern has mentioned that he loves
morning.
You.
Really?
Yeah. Remember that?
I don't remember that. I love him.
Yeah.
I love you, Howard.
Yeah, back when...
And yes, I will take off my top. Okay.
He just
loves
to,
when lesbians take off their top.
Well, he just wants to ask you about lesbian sex.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. Happy to go on anytime.
I mean, when Rachel Maddow was on his show last week, that's what he asked
really?
Her about.
Really?
Yeah?
Yeah, because that's the main thesis of her book.
I'm sure she was
okay.
happy to.
Yes, I'm sure that's what
you know
she
what?
Went, I'm sure that's what she went, got a Rhodes Scholarship for.
You know what, though? When you walk into Howard Stern's studio, you kind of have to expect that.
All right, my book's about military. Okay, yes. Hot lesbian sex is hot. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Howard. All right. I went to Stanford. Okay, here we go. By the way, I was just talking about Stephen King and taxes.
Yep.
I mentioned this to Alan Grayson earlier. This is just what exposes the Republicans to me. Since taking control of the House, they had to offset the cost of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Emergency disaster relief. For the first time in our country, unemployment benefits, they're willing to gut safety net programs, including Medicare, and do it. You got to offset everything. Well, the Bush tax cuts, of course, they expire at the end of 2012. They won't offer, they're not offering anything. You don't have to pay for those. Those are free, I guess.
Gosh.
And it wipes out the entire... The extension wipes out the entire deficit reduction they could ever have claimed to have achieved. So they're
being irresponsible.
It's false on its face. Their arguments on you have to offset costs for everything. All right.
Plus they want to do what the World Bank's been doing to Europe with austerity
right.
and
yeah.
killing.
Yeah.
Young Britain's economy is dead now thanks to the austerity plans.
29 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
When I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, don't with me. This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
So you're mixing up Pulp Fiction and Mommy Dearest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take you down, Chinatown. There's another one. 34 minutes after the hour.
Don't look back, Jake. Chinatown.
You have left the circle of trust. Okay. 1-800.
Take you down to Chinatown? Is that from Chinatown?
No.
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
What's that from?
I don't know. Meet the Parents? 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
From the Wizard of Oz.
Which I don't know. Jeff in Massachusetts. Hi, Jeff. Welcome.
How you doing, Steph?
Good.
Long-time watcher, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment about how...
you mean on TV? You're not stalking me, right?
No. Well,
oh, okay, good.
Perhaps I am, by default. But anyways,
creepy.
It's funny how all these people say, Mitt has such a great personality and such.
Who says that?
Well, his wife and a few of the misguided souls.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of my days when I was in high school and I was going to go on a blind date, and he told me what a great personality the girl had. I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah, he's wild and crazy, Jim, on the inside, according to Anne. Yeah.
He's whack.
He's a mad
whack.
Man. Yeah. Wow.
Whatever the kids are saying these days.
Yeah,
the kids were saying that in 1989.
Yeah. Who let those dogs out? Woof. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? See what's doing. Oh, gosh. Rush Limbaugh's going to say something bad about the president. Does this happen ever on a show?
No.
Really?
To give the go-ahead to take out an unsuspecting terrorist with the best SEAL team America has, that's what Obama wants the credit for. And he wasn't even the man in charge of the actual operation. That was a guy named McRaven. We had the details of that story for you yesterday. But Obama can't help it. He's a narcissist. World revolves around him, as you know. And so he has to put the spotlight on himself. Which is wrong. And this is like a guy who gives money to charity only for the press release that accompanies it and maybe gets his name on the medical building that they name after him for giving them money.
Oh, I see. He's... narcissist because he thinks he's what? Like commander in chief? So he gave the order, so...
Who do you think you are? Wow.
There he is, flying in the big plane. He's got to have a big plane because he's a narcissist. Okay. Sean Hannity on the...
If President Obama had his way by opposing rendition and black ops and enhanced interrogation and Gitmo, if he had his way on these things, we wouldn't have gotten the intelligence.
Oh, come on.
You're a lying sack of crap.
They did get the intelligence, and it wasn't from waterboarding.
Yes, Senator Feinstein, and I believe it was Schumer, said that yesterday, that this is a complete lie.
Yeah.
To imply that they got bin Laden because of torture.
Wow, imagine that. Sean Hannity lied to his audience.
Might want to load the liar cannon for a moment, is all I'm saying. Okay. Bill O'Reilly on the president.
So the question then becomes, is Mr. Obama exploiting the death of bin Laden for political purposes?
Oh, my God.
Only you can make that call.
Yeah.
But I can say, I think what the president has done is a huge campaign mistake. Last night on The Factor, Senator John McCain was furious over the way Mr. Obama attacked Mr. Romney. Supporters of the president will see it differently, of course, but independents might think what the president has done falls into the cheap shot category.
Wow. John McCain is furious over dryer lint. John McCain is an angry old man. John McCain is...
I put in a dryer sheet and there's still lint.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card is expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
John McCain's upset that we went from corded phones to cordless phones.
I'm angry about air.
By the way, I mentioned this earlier, but a former George Bush speechwriter, David Frum, made the same point. He said, if the raid had gone badly, President Obama would have had to wear the blame. Because it goes well, he gets the credit. That's the political
That's
deal.
How it
and,
works.
I don't think anybody in politics should deny him any smidgen of credit.
Wow.
He also said, what do you call it, when he was asked about the remark about President Carter, he said he needs better writers. They just look petty and, you know, unnecessary. All right. Dana Loesch, your friend from... The Dana Show. Okay.
Has nothing to do with rights. Has nothing to do with gay rights. I've never seen people care less for gay rights than progressives.
What?
If so, I want you to tell me why their president, our president, their candidate, entertained the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House.
What?
What?
You know, the Muslim Brotherhood. Because they're such best friends with the gays.
What?
Such best friends that they kill them on sight.
What is she talking about?
What?
The Muslim Brotherhood?
When did he have a dinner for the Muslim Brotherhood?
I'm guessing that he didn't.
and
that whole thing was based on...
Lies.
Crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, her husband likes to use the N-word in jokes, so what do you expect from her?
Yes. Okay. Wowee. What a lucky guy he must be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow, that voice, 24/7. Okay. All right, Sean Harris, anti-gay pastor in
North Carolina.
Speaking of the gay, this
was making the rounds yesterday. This pastor has been speaking out for that amendment to the North Carolina Constitution that would make it illegal for gays to marry.
I think Michelle Reiner sent this to me as well, and she also said I have excellent posture. Thank you. From Catholic school.
Yes, and so this guy has been speaking out, and this was in his sermon this past Sunday.
Okay.
Is he part of the Muslim Brotherhood?
Sounds like
it. No, he's Sean Harris.
Dads, the second you see your son dropping the limp wrist, you walk over there and crack that wrist.
Wow.
Man up. Give him a good punch. Okay? You're not going to act like that. You were made by God to be a male, and you're going to be a male. And when your daughter starts acting too butch, you rein her in.
Shoot her in the head.
And you say, oh, no. You can play sports. Play them to the glory of God. But sometimes you're going to act like a girl and walk like a girl and talk like a girl and smell like a girl. And that means you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be attractive. You're going to dress yourself up.
And if you don't, I'll kill you.
Wow.
That part was Jim Ward.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. God.
Yeah.
Wow, what does a girl smell like? I'm just curious.
I'm guessing he doesn't know, based on his tirade.
Yeah, that's, isn't that...
Wow!
I know.
I just got winded.
You said, Olympus, break it!
I just got winded like when I got hit with a dodgeball by John Comstock in fourth grade.
Yeah.
I'm winded.
Punch your son if he starts acting feminine.
Wow! Yikes! By the way, this is sort of depressing news. 55% of North Carolina voters support the state constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. 41% oppose it.
Yeah.
Poll shows opponents of the measures have done a poor job explaining to the public what's in it. The amendment would not just ban gay marriage, but civil unions, too. The poll find that people who knew that it banned civil unions oppose it by 60 to 38%. Mm-hmm. So I have fear that the same sort of thing is happening there that happened out here in California, where it was confusing and there was a lot of Mormon money coming in here. And there were a lot of, you know, different factors that were, you know. And I think what was the difference? Oh, ours, a lot of people thought that the no meant it meant the opposite.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. There's only one solution. My 89-year-old Republican mother needs to get off her bridge-playing duff and get out there and start talking about this in North Carolina. Stand up for your non-sweet-smelling daughter.
For your butch daughter.
For your butch daughter. I love my...
Your butch sports-playing daughter.
I would give anything for my mom to stand up and go. Oh, dear, I love my butch daughter. She was always a little dyke.
Were you?
She was always a little junior dyke tomboy.
Were you a little tomboy?
But I love her. Yes! Oh, dear God.
Oh, God.
Oh,
okay.
We'll find some pictures.
Because you're of the lipstick variety now.
Yes. No, I don't know how many times my dad would take my brother and I to breakfast. They would go, well, it'll just be you and your two sons.
Oh.
Okay. Because I wore my Plaza Texaco softball shirt. Like, you know, I never took it off. I wore it for years.
Softball? Really?
Really?
Come on.
Really? And they were still shocked when I told them? Okay. All right. Dick Morris on Hannity.
For the President of the United States to single out individuals who contributed to his opponent's campaign with the clear implication that they could be audited by the IRS, they could be cut off from federal funds, all kinds of things a president can do. The more this president campaigns on divisiveness and enemies lists, the more he reminds me of Richard Nixon.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, and that was one of the nicest analogies all week about Barack Obama. Because usually he's Hitler or Satan.
Right.
So if he's Nixon. All right. Thank you, Dick.
Wow, they're desperate. They're just really.
Wow. All right. James in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, James.
Thank you very much. I have to tell you, after the last four or five sound bites, my head is exploding.
Right.
This is bizarre. Yeah. Very fast. Evidently, Mitt Romney, Rush Limbaugh, and all those people that are very strange seem to have amnesia about Barack Obama so-called exploiting the bin Laden capture. I mean, let's face it, at least he wasn't flown onto the deck of a carrier with a flight suit standing in front of mission accomplished.
After accomplishing nothing, James.
Yeah,
I know. It's ridiculous. Yeah. These people have amnesia. And, you know, if you go on the websites and take a look at the posting boards, all of these little teen zombies all just repeat the same stuff. They all have amnesia. They don't remember anything more than 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. All right, James in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Hey, I'm glad there's so many Jameses on today.
Yeah, it's James Day.
It's such a good name.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, you guys were talking yesterday, I think, about Romney saying he would have done the same thing in Detroit that the president did.
Yes. Apparently the bailout was his idea.
Mm.
Well, of course, yes, it was. When one politician says that he would have done exactly what another politician did, that's an endorsement. So it's very nice that Mitt Romney endorsed the president.
Yes, thank you. Very nice. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Come on, get it started. Let's get it started.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show in here. 50 minutes after the up in here.
Up in here.
Right?
Up in here.
Up in here. Mm. Yeah, get your face up in there. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, wait, I got to hear this guy again.
Oh, okay.
All right, yeah. Jim, don't talk over it because then people think that he said the more horrible things that
you
said.
Well, that's why we're on TV.
Which he could have.
I'm saying it.
Yes.
He was thinking it, clearly.
Yes. Here is the everybody's talking about Sean Harris. He's a man of God, as you know.
Yes, he's a man of the cloth in North Carolina.
Yes. He's an anti-gay pastor in North Carolina.
Dads,
The second you see your son dropping the limp wrist, you walk over there and crack that wrist.
Amen.
Amen.
Man up. Give him a good punch.
Oh.
Okay? You're not going to act like that. You were made by God to be a male, and you're going to be a male. And when your daughter starts acting too butch, you rein her in. And you say, oh, no. You can play sports. Play them to the glory of God. But sometimes you're going to act like a girl and walk like a girl and talk like a girl and smell like a girl. And that means you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be attractive. You're going to dress yourself up.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, my
God. Don't turn out like that whore, Stephanie Miller.
Apparently. I'm guessing he's not watching on Current right now. Okay. Girl with a baseball bat. Ah! And basket to hell, driven by a girl in a baseball cap.
Wow.
Zoinks. All right.
And basket for hell, now leaving on track 666. All aboard.
Wow, there's a blast from the past.
Haven't played that one in a while.
There you go. All right, Mittens talking about how rude it is to take credit for your successes.
I acknowledged actually a year ago when this was announced that the president deserved credit for the decision he made. I continue to believe that and certainly would have taken that action myself.
I would have done that. I would have done that.
I would have done that.
Big deal.
So what?
Whatever. Okay. All right. Mittens.
I thought it was a mistake of him as a candidate for the presidency of the United States to announce that he would go in. Rather just to say we, as I did, we reserve the right to go where we feel is appropriate to secure the interests of the United States of America.
He should have just tied Bin Laden to the top of a station wagon.
Yeah.
Oh, bad form. Bad form. We don't do that at the country club. Josh in Bellingham, Washington. Hey, Josh, welcome.
Hey there, this is your Muay Thai fighting pastry chef.
Wow.
I just remember the one with the broken rib I called in a couple months ago?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay now.
Okay,
anyway,
good.
So, I don't know exactly what all girls smell like, but my wife smells like vanilla, and I'm betting that Stephanie Miller smells like salt and vinegar potato chips.
I smell like what?
Salt and vinegar potato chips.
I do not.
You know what? She kind of does.
I do not.
You smell like Dijon and balsamic vinegar.
A whiff of salmon.
I smell like disappointment and broken dreams. Okay. It's a musty smell.
Vanilla. Wow.
Vanilla?
I don't know.
All right.
Don't make a douche joke, please. Okay. Grover Norquist will endorse Richard Murdoch over Dick Lugar because he didn't sign his stupid pledge. This is what's happened to the Republican Party. Seriously.
They're being held hostage by one fella.
Orrin Hatch with a 99% conservative rating is not conservative enough. He's getting teabagged as well. Norquist and a handful of other high-profile conservatives, including Sarah Palin, pack thing, please and thank you. They will back him. It's just provable how far right these people have gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Bristol Palin, did you see this? She defends her mom as VP pick. She's tired
Someone
of people.
Someone has to.
Y'all, I'm tired of people saying that John McCain's wrong.
You guys.
Guys, quit it. Palin says it's ridiculous to say that Mitt Romney should avoid making a similar mistake. Oh, I agree. I think he should choose someone just as dopey and unqualified. Mittens, yes. She wrote on her blog, Mom answered the call to serve her country, energized the base, and inspired millions. Plus, she did it with good humor and grace. I don't know what else she possibly could have reasonably expected to do. I don't know, not be a dope that wasn't qualified.
Yeah. Do a little research.
She could not work miracles.
Read a paper.
Guys and gals.
All of them.
I can only do so much.
Guys and gals.
Golly.
Oh, God, I hope he does.
Quit being mean to my mom, you guys.
Yeah, I love that they're going with the Karl Rove strategy again. You know, they attack your strengths. So they're criticizing, they're seeking to undermine killing Bin Laden and Obama's high level support among students.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
I would highlight that.
That
as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Robert Gibbs, meanwhile, I think, said it best. I think sometimes you listen to the Romney campaign, they do think a lot of people in this country are stupid. Their message is, well, you didn't clean up our mess fast enough. The last 6 months of the Bush administration, we lost 3.5 million jobs. We know this about Mitt Romney. He's not a job creator. When he was governor of Massachusetts, they were 47th out of 50 in job creation. His experience is in downsizing, outsourcing jobs, bankrupting companies, and walking away with a lot of money.
So,
for
what's
himself.
Your point?
Axelrod said voters will become very familiar with Romney's economic policies soon, which he called backward-looking and a repeat of what got us into this mess in the first place. Speaking of people paying attention, SCOTUS favorability plummets. The Supreme Court's favorability rating has plummeted to a 25-year low, with Americans on both sides of the aisle demonstrating historically negative views of the high court. Yes, everyone thought Citizens United sucked.
Yeah, we... the Supreme Court should not be designed to have an approval rating.
Right.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing we
God.
Can do.
When
five of them are doing Frank Luntz talking points, you know there's something wrong. By the way, as you know, the president has a plan to take all of our guns in his second term.
We know that because he has not tried to take the guns away yet.
Yes.
But
so
Romney clearly did.
Gun stores cannot get guns fast enough to keep up with the demand from anti-Obama paranoia, apparently.
Yep.
Last year, the head of the NRA claimed that President Obama, he intentionally avoided gun regulation during his entire first term as a, quote, a massive Obama conspiracy to deceive voters and hide his true intentions to destroy the Second Amendment in our country. While Pierre's claimed that Obama's simply waiting for a second term so he can get busy dismantling and destroying our firearms freedom, it's a little more than implausible. It also proved to be a bonanza for the gun industry. So now there's more money for the NRA to pass more stupid laws like Stand Your Ground.
But do they understand that Mitt Romney has passed more anti-gun legislation than Barack Obama?
The president has passed exactly zero.
Zero. Mitt Romney?
Mitt Romney,
assault weapons ban in Massachusetts.
Yeah, lots of other.
Can't wait for that ad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Coming to get our guns. All right. Oh, and I love this. National Review, not a Chris Christie fan. He lacks the moral compass and integrity to serve as vice president.
Well,
you know why?
He had a moral compass, but he ate it.
He's too Muslimy.
Oh,
he's
really?
Too Muslimy?
Yeah. He has an Islam problem. He has a history as a federal prosecutor and as governor of embracing some American Muslims as they identify as having a checkered history. There's nothing worse than a checkered Muslim.
You know what else Chris Christie embraced?
What?
The buffet.
Oh, stop it.
What?
You go now. No,
yes. They say they close whatever the reasons we conclude Chris Christie lacks the moral compass and integrity needed to serve as Vice President of the United States. There you go.
Didn't the Muslims invent chess?
That's very checkered. All right. Tomorrow is it's Thursday. What happens tomorrow on the big show?
Representative Adam Schiff of Burbank is going to be in studio with us tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yep.
Let's thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor, and Courtney and the Pokes in the current control room. See you tomorrow, everybody.